Happy Mother's Day. I am very happy for all of you mothers that that reflect, you know, your love for your child, and your child has experienced that, and they embrace you in this day. I hope all of you have a wonderful time with your children and your mothers, your grandchildren and your grandmothers, and your greats, greats, and greats, and greats. Amen and amen, right? I want to make an announcement before I get started as well. Next Saturday, we are going to have the memorial service for Miss Shirley. Bill and his family will be here. We're going to have visit our family time from 12 to 1, and then a visitation time from 1 to 2, and then we'll have service time from 2 to 3. And then after that service time is finished, we are going to provide a meal for the family. Talking with Bill yesterday, I think maybe 50 to 60 people is what we're talking about. And Susie and Dawn would like to meet with people to talk about covered dishes that we might need or someone can bring. But please reach out to Susie. Maybe even after church today, just, you know, go to tap her on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm going to be here. I'll be able to help. What can I bring? And we can start putting together, you know, the meal for the family next Saturday. We're going to have special guest with music, but we'll have somebody here for the sound booth to manage CD or pictures, so we'll have that taken care of. Did you have any other needs, Bill, that you might have thought of since we talked yesterday? Okay. All right. Well, I enjoyed my time with you in the pouring rain. And wasn't it wonderful to get that rain? I think we're still going to get some more. I don't know if we'll get it today or not, maybe, but God is always blessing, and it's always wonderful to have his blessings upon us. So I look forward to our time next week, and God bless you and your family as well. Amen. This morning, as I always like to do, I want to share with you the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to share from Scripture coming out of Psalm this morning. I'm going to ask that you stand with me. I'll be reading from Psalm 139. I'm going to do a bit of a preamble, and then we'll post the focus verses on the screen for you to follow along with after I get to that point. But I'll be reading from Psalm 139, beginning in verse number 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For it is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you knew it and you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the blessings of grace and mercy upon us. I thank you too, Father, for the love of mothers and for the joy that families are able to celebrate this morning. And Lord, we celebrate all of this and you, and we lift our praise to you, knowing that all good things come from you. And Lord, we ask for your goodness to be with us now in this time, to strengthen us in your words. Lord, to help us to see that our paths are not walked alone, and that you are with us through all things until the day you call us home. And Father, we praise you and give you thanks for the hope we have in that day that we will rejoice in your presence, your grace and your mercy fully known. And Lord, I pray if there is one here who does not know the joy of salvation through your atoning work, Lord, today they will know and find peace through you. Forgiveness of sins, healing, and a new life. Lord, we ask this too, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated, please. Where can I go? How many of you have ever tried to run from God? Did you think you were getting anywhere? I mean, there are times in life when we may feel that God is not with us, that he's not watching us, that he is separated from us. But I want to assure you today that God is always with us. There is not anything that we do. There is no place in life that we can go, whether it is up or down or just sideways. There is nowhere where we journey in this mortal life that God is not there. He's nowhere in our eternal life where we might journey that God is not there. God is everywhere. And he's always with us. There is no place that you can go to escape God. So that question is really something we already know. Where can I go to get away from God? And the answer is nowhere. Well, then the next question is this. What would make a soul want to hide from God to begin with? What makes us want to hide from God? Well, I can think of a few things, but let me tell you what I see in Scripture. One may try to hide from God when they realize the sin in their life. We all know of Adam and Eve and how wonderful it was in the Garden of Eden and that life was just a joy except for their desire to have what they weren't supposed to have. You know the story, don't you? How many of you know the story of Adam and Eve? How they were tempted and how they gave in to temptation and did the thing that God said they shouldn't do or else they would die. And I've told people this week, I'm going to share it again today. People continue to do things they know they shouldn't do because even though you can tell them, if they don't have experience with it, it doesn't have substance to them. They don't understand it. They can tell you they know what you're telling them is going to happen. They can tell you in great detail how it might look in the world and how it might play out in their life. But until they feel it, they have no experience. And so if they say, oh, I'm going to be careful, it means a whole lot more coming from someone who's hit that tree, who ran that stop sign and had that terrible crash. Because when you hear them say, oh, I'm going to be sorry or careful, you know from experience they're going to be careful. But those that have run the stop signs and never paid the penalty, they keep going, don't they? I see it every day out here on the roads. People, they don't think things are going to happen. Well, it never happens to me. It's always somebody else. Realization of sin. And Adam and Eve, they did what God said they shouldn't do because they didn't know what death was going to be. But all of us know now, don't we? And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. And even if it's quick for the one who passes, it's not quick for the ones who remain. Death is not a pleasant thing, but once they had sinned, and still even before they knew what that consequence was going to feel like, the first thing they did when their eyes was open was to hide. They hid from God. They heard the sound of God in the garden, and they hid. They even got fig leaves and tried to cover themselves up. Aren't you glad God took that away, though? I'm glad we don't wear fig leaves today. But God took that away and brought them out and corrected them, put them on a path of correction. And it's still a path of correction for all of us. We walk with thorns and thistles every day. We see rainbows and butterflies and thorns and thistles all in the same garden now. It's what we live with. Realization of sin can make one try to hide from God, even in our lives today. When we know we have sin, let me tell you, the first thing we need to do is find God's presence and find forgiveness and find the joy of our salvation. We need to make sure that we are walking in the path that God is calling us to walk. Because if we realize we have sin and we continue to walk in sin, the consequence will be unlike any that you wanted. Because God, even though He works slowly, is not mocked. And a time of answering to God will come. The best place to answer to God is in a kneeling prayer, finding forgiveness. Because of the other thing that makes someone want to hide. We realize we sin, but then we're afraid of the wrath that God might have against us because of our sin. But I want to share something Paul said. And all of us who know forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, we need to hold on to these words. In 1 Thessalonians, he says this, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are saved in Jesus Christ, we can still err in our living and have sin in our life, but we are not destined for wrath, but we certainly don't want to face the consequence of our sin either. The only way we can really avoid the consequence that I'm speaking about is to find forgiveness. Now, I will tell you, too, Paul said he had a thorn in his side. He asked God to take it away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So your consequence of whatever action it might be could be a thorn in your side for as long as you live, but forgiveness for that sin is found. God's not going to take the memory of it. God's not going to take the feelings of having done wrong away from you. God's not going to let us ever feel like we haven't done anything wrong. That's not part of this scenario. We will feel the weight of our sin. That's why we first want to hide, and then we begin to wonder about the wrath that may come. But if you are a Christian, be assured that God did not appoint you to wrath, but to find peace in Him in all things. And when there's no peace, turn to Him and find it. That's the remedy. Because I want to tell you something. There is no place anyone can run to get away from God. You can't run and hide from God. Adam and Eve couldn't do it. We can't do it. The best advice is when you see sin coming, run from it. Run from it. Run from the devil. Run from that evil that is trying to creep upon your shoulder and get into your ear. Run! How many of you can still run in here? You know, I ask because I know even now I find that I have a hard time trying to take a quick step every now and again. It's like my mind says, hey, you can do this. And my body says, hold on, let me catch up with you. Run. It doesn't take many steps to get away when you're crying out for Jesus. If you want to know what running looks like, think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And she kept tempting him and tempting him. And he said, I will not commit this sin against my master and my God. And she one day grabbed him by his cloak, and he left his cloak behind and ran out of the house. And she said, oh, he came in. Look what he was trying to do. Joseph ended up in prison. You know that, don't you? That's not where he ended up. That was just part of the journey. But here's what I want you to see more than anything else. When sin comes upon you, run. Leave your cloak behind if you need to. Why? Because it is a testimony to the truth of what has happened. Potiphar's wife used it as a lie, but God saw, God knew, and God took care of Joseph. And God will always take care of his children who are running from sin, no matter what the world says they have. Because the cloak is a testimony. It's not a testimony that all truly saw or heard, but it's a testimony that only one needed to see and hear, and that was God. And what happened to Joseph? He went to prison, but what really happened after that? He became highest in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh himself, at Pharaoh's bidding, because God magnified himself in his life. Oh yeah, it seemed like he had a good life going, and then it just went downhill. And sometimes when we get in that moment where it looks like it's going downhill, we think it's all over. It might be just beginning. You don't even know the wonders and the splendor of what God might have coming in your life. But you honor God, and God will honor you. And the testimony is there, and God knows it. He knows our hearts. He knows our words. He knows us, our standing up, our sitting down. There is nothing that God doesn't know about us. Me or you or anybody else, those that are his children and those that are not, God knows. We talk about God and him being all powerful and all knowing and everywhere. We use those words omni. How many of you know those words omni? Omnipotent, right? Omniscience. All powerful, all knowing, and omnipresent everywhere. And he is. And we know this. So why is it we still find ourselves in a place that we might consider the Garden of Eden and still trying to hide behind a bush when we hear the presence of God coming? Because we think fig leaves still work, don't we? We forget that we're covered in the blood. And this is the fallacy of Christians and their thinking. We forget we are covered in the blood that atones for our sins and brings peace between us and God the Father through Jesus, the Son, who is our mediator, standing between the Father and the creation, me and you. But when we take the mediator out of the equation, we stand on our own. And the weight of sin can become unbearable. But walk in truth. Walk in peace with God. Leave behind your cloak, even if you have to leave behind your cloak. Leave it to run from sin. The rest of the world might not understand what is going on. All they're going to see is the cloak, and they're going to have their own assumptions. Let me tell you something. You are not responsible for what people think. You are responsible for what you do. And responsible to honor God, whatever it might be in. Where can we run to hide, be out of God's presence? I'm going to get away from God today. Where are you going to go? Verse number 8, do you see this? Even if I ascend into heaven, you are there. Even if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Whether I'm standing in praise or whether I'm crying in shame, God is there. Because all things are done for the glory of God. People say, how can people dying for eternity in hell bring glory to God? I can't fully answer that question for you, but I can tell you this, they wouldn't be there except by their own choice. And God's glory is magnified in that. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not going to be fun. God will be there. There will be praises and shouts of glory in heaven. And everybody knows why that's going on, don't we? Because I can run again. I don't have to worry about whether Arthur is following me around all my life anymore. Y'all know who Arthur is, right? He's got a first cousin called Idas. Arthur and Idas. They won't be in heaven with us anymore. Whether in praise or in shame, whatever words, whatever sounds are coming from us, God is there. That's on the other side of eternity. But on this side of eternity, in our mortal life, there is no place we can go. If I take the wings of the morning, if I go to the deepest of the deep in the oceans, I can't get away from God. I can't outrun Him. There is no amount of speed that I can obtain in my life trying to get away that's going to put distance between me and God. Because when I enter one space from another, God is already there. I wonder, how many of y'all ever watch children playing soccer? I mean like little toddler kind of children, you know, running around. They might stop, get distracted, run off the field to go do something. People's hollering, no, get back on the field. There's parents and grandparents out in the stands just chuckling and laughing, videotaping. I wonder if God ever looks at us like children playing soccer sometimes. And just chuckles at who we are and what we think we're doing. I know this. He always looks upon us with love. And He always wants us to know His love. And He wants us to know there is no place we can go that He is not already there. Neither height nor depth. Nowhere. There's no distance that we can put between God because we're fast enough. We can't climb the highest mountain. We can't go in the deepest hole. God is there. Paul said in Romans, I am persuaded. And like Paul, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's nothing, nowhere, no experience in life where we can't experience God's love. I know sometimes we want to hold on to the tears, but we need to let the tears turn to tears of joy and celebration. Because at least I'm not getting what I deserve. I have found peace through Jesus Christ. I am not obtaining wrath, but I am obtaining life in Jesus Christ. And a life I didn't earn. A life I didn't deserve. And I can't point to any one of us that can say we earned it or we deserve it. But I can throw my hands up and turn circles around and look at every one of us and say, I see a multitude who should celebrate what God so freely gives through His Son, Jesus Christ. Life, forgiveness of sins. peace, hope. Walk in faith. Trust in your walk with Him. Faithfully go where you know God is leading. I tell you, I've thought about some of this lately, and I thought I might try to refer to this in another sermon time, but I'm going to go ahead and refer to Abraham for a minute. How many of you remember Abraham in the Old Testament? He finally had that son. You remember that son God promised? Sarah didn't think it was going to happen either, did she? Why is she laughing? You remember God speaking with Abraham? Why is she laughing? Oh, I didn't laugh. Oh, I heard you. He knows, doesn't he? There's nothing that God doesn't know. Abraham had his son, though, and his son was growing. And then one day, you know, angel of the Lord, God shows back up on the scene and says, Abraham, I'm not here to have small talk today. I have something I want you to do. I want you to take your son, and I want you to make a sacrifice of him. You know, Abraham listened to God and did everything God said. And even on the journey to make the sacrifice, you know, the son said, hey, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide the lamb. The Lord will provide the lamb. And they kept walking all the way to the point where his son was on the altar and Abraham was about to sacrifice him, and God stopped him. God stopped him right there and said, no, I know you love me. And a ram was caught in a thicket. Just a side note, it wasn't time for a lamb. A ram was going to suffice at that point. The lamb would come later. You know him by the name of Jesus. But for us, when we're on that journey that God told us to go from start to finish, how many of us actually have patience to go the whole way and let God show you where he's at when you get there? Or do we along the way say, man, I can't do this. God's left me all alone. I'm abandoned. You want to know what walking in faith looks like? Look at Abraham. Trust and faith, and the answer was, when asked the question, God will provide. That's the only way we can walk when we walk with God. I've never gotten a calendar update from him. Have you? I just know he's there. And I know it doesn't matter what day of the week or the month that I'm in. It's his calendar anyway. And God is there. Where can I go to escape God? Nowhere. Why do I want to escape God? Am I weighted down with a sin? I'm too ashamed to say to God, I erred. Or I'm too ashamed to let it be known that I erred. That I have to hold a cloak up and say, look, this is what was all happening about. This is what it was all about. And we make it into something it wasn't. Why do we have to hide from God? Because God's already there. He already knows everything. Neither height nor depth, nothing made, nothing that ever will be made, nothing yet to come that God doesn't already know, isn't already there. And so really the question isn't where can I go to hide from God. It really shouldn't even be why am I trying to hide from God. It should be this. How can I find peace with God? That's what the question really should be. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. You can only have peace with God through Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved than Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, and no one will. The world will tell you there are plenty of paths to choose. God says there's one, and it's straight, and it's narrow. But what really hurts is when he says this, and few find it. Many will walk the path of destruction. But why? Why? When we know that God is. I want to close with this thought. God is so big, the heavens cannot contain him. And yet he made himself so insignificant, so small, that he can rest right here in my heart and yours, all of us. He is so big, he's everywhere. And yet he can still fit right here if we just open the door. I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open the door, he will come in and sit with you and dine with you and you with him. And how wonderful is that to know life and hope in Jesus Christ. This morning I'm asking you, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I'm pleading with you to come and to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. To know peace through forgiveness of sins. Even if we know Jesus, we still find our life in places where we still have lost that peace, and we can only get it by finding forgiveness in Christ. And we celebrate family, right? We're celebrating Mother's Day and we're celebrating family. Celebrate your family in Christ and find that joy and that hope and that forgiveness again, right now, while we have this time. God's calling. Are you listening? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the goodness that you have poured out upon us. Lord, we know that you are with us. We know that we cannot hide, and we know that you see and hear all. And Lord, we know that our lives are not perfect. But yet in you, we are being made perfect. One day to see our lives completed in you, when we step into eternity and find your grace and mercy fully complete. But Father, I pray for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today their hearts are opened and repentance is pleaded and forgiveness is found. Lord, I pray that even us as believers and children are finding peace with you and celebrating the goodness of your love. And Father, we lift all things to you. We ask for your help. We praise you for your glory. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we ask this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Will you come while the altar is open?